Hi, welcome to another episode of Paul Thon Power, Power System Design's podcast on the latest in power and power design. I'm your host, Alex Pault, and today I've got Jason Anderson. He's a product line manager at Eaton, and we're going to talk about UPSs and power backup in general, especially at the industrial and data center level. So, hey, welcome to the show, Jason.
Well, thank you. Glad to be here.
Well, the whole issue of power is it's becoming so critical nowadays. And, you know, power used to be an afterthought. Even backup power was almost an afterthought. Company thought, slap a few batteries in there and a big-ass switch and we'll be done. Power's a lot more sophisticated now, isn't it?
Yeah, we're seeing some different trends happening in the industry. And one of those trends we're seeing is the adoption of some more distributed type approaches in the data center. Those have some benefits that we've seen with some of our larger customers in the sense of using distributed power in the data center allows them to run for higher voltage closer to the servers, which reduces their wire size and cost associated with that. It also limits their exposure to single points of failure within that stream of power to the server. And for servicing and scalability issues, it isolates it to smaller sections in the data center.
Now, Jason, does that provide any real challenges to it's going to a distributed architecture of any kind. I believe it would give you challenges as far as management, as far as interface, as far as organization. There's a lot of moving parts in there, aren't there?
Definitely. Matter of fact, one of our largest customers over the last few years has been a large.com who's been using hundreds of our existing product line, the 9390, in the white space as an AB type configuration. The challenges that they ran into was the fact of how they deployed that into the white space. And those challenges included being able to mirror the A and B configurations at an end-of-row type configuration. Another huge challenge for them was the thermal management aspect of that. And what I mean by that is with typical UPS systems, the cool air is brought in through the front and then the hot air exits the top of the UPS. Well, when you're trying to do a hot out, cold out containment, the ideal situation is to actually have the cold air go in the front and then the hot air come out the back so that you can contain it in the hot aisle.
Right.
So they had to adapt that product to be able to have the air exit out the back, which took time and extra money to do that. Our latest product, the 93PM, accounted for that in the sense of it can actually account for both front to top airflow and front to back airflow, which is a great solution for a hot out, cold out containment situation.
Mm-hmm. Now, Jason, that's a difficult issue and one that requires a real solution, but that strikes me as more of a mechanical issue. Are there any management or control issues that are rearing themselves?
Obviously, in terms of from the power perspective and the control perspective, some applications have been able to take advantage of our energy saver system, which is basically only conditioning the power when needed. Other sites, though, have still required double conversion type controls. We're happy to say with this product, we're able to start to achieve much higher efficiencies similar to our energy saver system. This product, even in double conversion, can achieve up to 97%. So that's definitely a big advantage when you're trying to adapt a white space type solution.
Right. Well, I mean, the whole issue... UPS and power quality are not always thought of in the same sentence, but I think should be more often because, especially nowadays, processes are becoming so much more critical to noise and power dropouts. And frankly, you could save a lot on your electronics back end if you have better power at the front end.
Yeah, and that's true. Although you have to keep in mind, though, that with the Web 2.0s and the virtual aspects of it, and also the fact that a lot of the supplies are designed out there around the ITIX, ABIMA curve, and the IEC standards, there's many applications that are actually able to use more of a, again, a condition only when needed type approach, which the, for example, the ITIC curve allows for plus or minus 10%, which is what the supplies in the data center are designed to. So it really comes down to your application. We still see other types of applications where they do require tighter voltage regulation, frequency regulation, like medical and some financial institutions. But in the data center world, it's kind of a mixed bag out there from the sense of some are very happy with our ESS mode of operation, which is a little bit wider window of operation, but gives them 99% efficiency. But there's, again, a few customers that are out there requiring that double conversion efficiency, which gives you that tighter voltage regulation and frequency. And we're happy to say now they can even achieve 97% with this new product.
Got it. So now, so this new product is very flexible. You can address just, I wouldn't say every contingency, but you've got a lot of the various contingencies in mind. Are there other products within your space to address the more fringe requirement areas?
One of the things that we're seeing that's becoming more popular is the requirement for actually very short run times. Typically, we've seen anywhere from 5 to 15 minutes of backup required. We are pushing the boundaries of having shorter run times. As a matter of fact, we're getting a lot of voice of customer that's saying they would like to see somewhere in that minute range, especially when they're using a generator. The fact is that if they don't get their generator started within 20 seconds or so, the chances of them getting out there to be able to service a generator is unlikely. So there's a need to have a lot less shorter runtime, which would limit their footprint and cost of the amount of battery and or alternative energy they would need. So we're happy to say with this product, we actually were able to push that boundary and almost shrink the footprint from a 32-inch wide battery cabinet down to a 19-inch wide battery cabinet and give them only a 2.3-minute offering in addition to our standard runtimes. So that's something
right.
That have more of a fringe out there in the sense of this, but a growing demand for shorter runtime solutions.
Well, actually, that makes a lot of sense, Jason, because a lot of what I've been hearing in the space is it's either a 5-minute interruption or it's a 50-hour interruption. You know, there are very few intermediate-level events anymore. It's either, oh, it's a hiccup, or, oh, my God, it's down, and we got to call in 800 people.
That's exactly right. And one customer even said, if I don't get it started in 20 seconds, I'm just delaying the pain. So, there's this push to invest in only what you need, and we're happy to have both solutions, those that want long run times and then also those that are looking for those short run times as well.
Right.
In addition to short battery time run time solutions, we also do integrate with flywheels just as easily.
I was just about to ask you that, is that when you start talking about short runtime, some of the more exotic storage technologies become almost viable, and I was wondering, talking about flywheels, actually that's then the perfect bridge, because if you've got the electronics and they've got a flywheel, and boom, there's your 30 seconds right there.
Exactly, and we actually see flywheel only. We see flywheels with batteries. We've seen all three different combinations, batteries alone, flywheels alone, and the combination of both.
Well, I've even seen some enclosed compressed air short-term storage systems. It's really going to be interesting, because that's the other side of the coin, is that once we're talking about short-run energy, it's more the management of it than the source, wouldn't you say?
Yeah, I mean, obviously you have to look at all the trade-offs. You know, there's always been this big push to get away from lead batteries. Although, you know, they continue to be very popular just because of the performance you get out per the cost. And then you also have to balance that with the service aspect of any technology, whether it be compressed air, whether it be flywheel, or LED.
Although, you know, interestingly enough, and this is a little bit of a non sequitur, but I know you would be interested because of the space you're in. I was just up at CUNY last month, the City University of New York, and they're doing a huge test. I mean, thousands of watts test of zinc-based battery technology. They've had the professor responsible had an epiphany. If he just agitates, not even circulates, just agitates the electrolyte, no dendrites form on the zinc. So they're doing a long-term test to see, because if that works, then they'll be able to replace all lead acid with zinc-based batteries. You do the math how much of a savings that's going to wind up being.
Yeah, definitely. We're looking at, we're also looking at all the technologies out there. Zinc's one of them, sodium, lithium. We hear about a lot about lithium. You know, all of them have their pros and cons, and I think there's a lot of potential out there in the near future for some of these alternative forms of storage.
Right. Now, you offer your clients advice on that? Like if a client came to you and said, I love your machine, but I'm thinking about hot rocks, and you'd say, well, no, you don't want hot rocks. You want compressed air, or you want flywheel, or, hey, your circumstance, you really do need batteries. Do you offer that kind of advice to your clients?
Yeah, I mean, we're trying to stop talking about batteries in the sense of we want to be a power manager. It's not just about being a UPS. It's about power management. And eventually it's not going to matter whether it's a battery, a solar cell, wind. It won't matter. We'll just basically take all forms of energy in and be able to manage that energy per the customer's requirements.
Yeah, and that's exactly what I was expecting to hear, Jason. The people who are looking to the future, it's got to really be a management thing, and then whatever the energy asset is, be it harvested energy from the waste heat from the data center, be it new energy, be it variable energy from alternate sources, your power management is going to need to take all of those different power sources in. And downstream, probably communicate between the Internet of Things and the smart grid. It's going to have to be a lot more intelligent in a network sense as well.
Yeah, definitely. You know, especially when you work with like solar panels, you need to be able to manage that constant change in energy. So those will be the challenges going forward. But I see that's where the industry is heading, and we expect to continue to work with all those technologies in our new product offerings.
Excellent. So, Jason, is there anything that you wanted to leave our audience with, any final tips or ideas or things on the horizon that you see? And, of course, give us your URL so that people can follow up with you later.
Yeah, definitely. You know, we talked about distributed power. There's other things to look for in this growing trend of putting power in the white space. Footprint, things like scalability. You want to look for all those things that make putting distributed power in the white space more effective, easy to deploy, easy to manage. And I think if you look at our eaton.com/93pm website, you'll see that we're working hard on addressing all those challenges.
Excellent. Well, hey, Jason, thank you so much for taking the time to be with us. As I said before, power is becoming such an increased concern across the entire board that a lot of people are really being forced to look at power management from a management side, not just simply something you can grab and stick in a corner of the room to do what you want done.
That's great, and it was great talking to you as well.
Thanks, and we'll drag you back, too, because obviously this isn't a discussion or application space that can be easily covered in a short discussion.
Very good.
Okay. And I'd like to thank everybody out there in the audience for taking the time to listen to us today. We wouldn't be here without you. Tell your friends. This is Alex Pault for Pault on Power. Have a great day.